into their pocket. What's it gonna be, John? It's a red card! There were several this weekend. Man. That can only mean one thing, though. It's time for the Get Off My Pitch Daytime Podcast. My name is Eric Paisley, and with me is...
John Brennig.
And if you can hear that grinding outside, that's because they're chopping down two trees and trimming the hedge. But we're going to proceed, sir, so it is good to see you, my friend.
Well, it's good to see you, too. You staying cool?
Yeah. On tonight's podcast, or today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the fight in Johnny Russell's and the first ever home loss. This one was tough, John. So we're going to go ahead.
I'm going to var you in episode. First ever home loss at Judas Park.
Yeah. First ever home loss at Judas Park. Breaking a 25 game streak, I think. Yeah.
590 days or something. I don't know.
It was pretty tough. I'm going to turn you a little bit. There we go.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. What else are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the hardest working player, MVP. Uncomfortable questions. We've got them. We're going to ask them. Of course, we're going to tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch and then a preview of our next match. All right, John, that is going to be a tough one. Gut check time. Let's just skip to the meat of this. Gut reaction to the loss.
I don't like the roller coaster. I want to go back to Drawsville SC. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as eventful, but it was predictable.
Yeah.
You know? It's funny. I felt like, up until these last two games, I felt like I kind of knew who we are. But now I feel like we're trending into a discussion we've had previously, like the RSL zone, where I'm like, well, we lose to these guys, but we beat these guys, and we tie these. And I'm like, you know, our level of play seems to be varying based on opponents. And now I'm kind of like, I don't know that I have as good of a handle on where we really sit. You know what I mean? Like, yes, I can look at the standings and the points and that says a thing, but you know, we talked about last time, like, I don't believe some teams that are above us. I do believe in some teams that are below us, Seattle, for example. You know, so I don't know that I have a handle on that anymore. It's kind of my walk away feeling at a high level, but man, that felt like a gross loss. It wasn't as bad as some of the others, but it did not feel good.
I was supremely disappointed, though I had a sense of dread going into this game. I didn't like some of the things I heard in Gary's pregame. It was the pre-match conference. It was a lot of coach speak. A lot of, oh, the weather was hot, so we had to move up or up. I don't know. I just was like getting like, I'm not really hearing a lot of, I didn't hear a lot of positivity. Maybe I'm reading too much into it retrospectively, which obviously I think the psychology term for that is priming. I think I'm primed to like look back at that conference and see bad things in it. But just giving you my gut reaction, I just had a sense of foreboding, and it was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, maybe, when they scored that first goal from a net. And again, this kid Hernandez, who's from Nashville, that hurts, man. That hurt me. And ever since that goal, when that goal went in, I'm like, we're just not on tonight. Is that bad? I mean, I was like, you know what? We're just not on tonight.
Yeah, it didn't. I mean, when I watched it, the first half was just, it wasn't working. I mean, I'll probably talk about more later on, but like CJ and Hani were just on an island up there doing stuff. And everyone else was just kind of passing the ball around with not a lot of purpose and stuff. The second half was better. It was absolutely better. But the first half just, it felt gross. It didn't feel quite as bad as the Houston game, you know, where we felt like we got played off the field, or the Dallas game, you know, those two. But it just didn't feel like we had a purpose. We weren't out there. I don't know. It just seemed poor. And like in the first 15 minutes, it was nervy because they had some opportunities. None of them were really close. And if you look at the XG, they weren't, but they got down into our half, you know, into our third of the field. They were pressing the box. They were putting, you know, they were shots that blocked, things like that. Like they came out firing. We definitely didn't. I know we've tried to. Gary talked about the beginning of the season, some points trying to like set the tone, control the first 15 minutes, get into the game. We did not. The tone in the first 15 minutes was a little back and forth. And if not, they were a little better organized because all of our opportunities fizzled out.
They played desperate. They played like a team that it's in the bottom of the table and they need to get out. Peter Vermes is not going to have a team just sitting around doing just twiddling their thumbs. Yeah. He's too good of a coach. There are too many good players on that team. and they were going to bring it. And that, I guess that retrospectively is my, was my fear, was they were going to come in here and they were going to come in with, we got nothing to lose. We got to get in there and get a result, period. Yep. We're going to do whatever it takes. And I'll talk a little bit about it in my next couple of segments coming up. Excuse me. I'll talk a little bit about that in the upcoming segments, but it seemed very clear that they were on the front foot and they had something to prove. And we just didn't, it just did not seem urgent for us.
No, this to me, if you had shown me this game in a vacuum, not knowing any standings, I wouldn't have been as surprised, because this looked like the Kansas City from last year.
Yeah.
That was third in the West, I think, behind Seattle and Colorado. This, if you had told me, you know, take all you know is last year, they were third in the West, and then you show me this game, I'd be like, okay, that looks like a team that we had trouble playing. They could have been third in the West and we might have struggled. But we have the whole context of the season up until now where they have played poorly. And so it's like, you know, maybe they've rounded into form, and if so, good on them. But, you know, in the context of knowing where they've been all season, this did feel bad. We should have been able to do better. I mean, we beat them before at their, you know, on the road. Yeah. So.
And maybe that was, maybe that played into it. Maybe there was a little bit of revenge for us coming in there, embarrassing them in their house. We'll point out that our Kansas City episode is still our most popular episode. The previous Kansas City episode was our most popular.
Interesting.
Almost double the downloads. I'm not sure if we have some Kansas City listeners. If we do, thank you very much. But yeah, I was surprised by that. So let's go into hardest working. We can use this as a springboard to talk a little bit more in depth about the game. My hardest working player, it was difficult from the start to kind of name one, but I gave it to Dan Lovitz because he was having to cover Johnny Russell, and he was doing a great job, but it was an all night job. It was not easy. He needed help from Sean on several occasions, and you know, and I'm sorry, not from Sean and from
Dave, Jack.
No, for the other side. Whenever Johnny would go down to the touchline, Romney would have to really work hard in the first half. Mm-hmm. You know, Romney was really working hard with Dan to cover Johnny. Johnny Russell is a good player. Again, I know maybe my man crush goes too deep, but I really thought they had a handful. That's why I gave it to Dan. I think he was taking the brunt of that work.
I can see that. I definitely saw a couple occasions where I remember one distinct pass where Dan got the ball and was just going to, you know, kind of cycle around our half. And from off the screen, just this blue jet that came up and ran up to Dan. Now, Dan got the pass away before he got there, but Johnny, you know, from 20 yards away, bombed up there to try and steal the pass. It didn't work out, but like you just saw him just flying out of nowhere because he wanted it. I was just like, oh, you know what I mean? So I agree. Dan had his hands full. To me, mine, I mentioned it already, I'm going to give mine as a tie to CJ and Hani, because it, for the first half, the only play we had in the middle was the two of them. They were both working so hard. There were so many passes that went to them and they had to try and play off each other and no one else to get it forward. And they did a good job. Hani had a couple things. I also feel like Hani had to work extra hard because it seemed like he was almost always double team. He would get the ball against one and immediately be closed down by another defender. Like they knew, this is the guy and we have to stop him. And I feel like he did a pretty good job. I mean, he was still present for the game. They did not eliminate from him. You know, it was like, he wasn't silent. Yes, he didn't make the stat sheet, but he was still there. He was still present. He got shots off. He had some key passes. Same with CJ and winning aerial duels. Like I felt they both did a really good job for being on in the first half. When Ake came on the second half, it opened things up. And again, when Leal, because we had more people running forward, we also shifted Godoy up a little bit. And, you know, Dax kind of became the screen for the back line. I felt like they got a lot more help, and so the play became better and more fluid. But I think they both were really hardworking, trying to make something from not a lot, when the only help they had was Mweel or Lovitz run up the side, crossing something, and that was about it. Like, I didn't see a lot of good buildup through the middle. It was just the two of them, you know, making these forays forward repeatedly.
Yeah, I don't think you saw a lot of buildup from the middle for a few games now, and that's concerning to me.
Yeah, we did a little bit in San Jose, but that's also because they're really very poor in defending really some. Bad. Yeah. So, I agree. I excuse that as a one-off.
I want to talk about that. Yeah, put a pin in that because I want to talk about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. MVP, who is the most valuable?
I am going to give the MVP to one Ake Loba. That's right, folks. Not only did he score the goal, this, if you remember the Open Cup game against Louisville, the first half was kind of meh. Come out the second half, they score. Or maybe it was the first half we scored. And then the second half, Ake came out motivated. This was motivated Ake. Mm-hmm. He looked good. His passes were crisp. He did not give the ball up. Like, this is what I would have thought the $7 million man would look like. Mm-hmm. I mean, his contributions on the Alex penalty, not penalty situation, the Hani CJ offside, not offside. Well, you know what I mean? Actually, Hani was offside. I give him that one. But, you know, the Hani offside, he was in that play. He scored the goal in the follow-up. And you saw him, like, I remember they showed, they cut to a end-on view. And you saw all of them running. You saw him. He was watching them in the play. His head is turned and watching them. But he's still jogging because he has a chance. And he sees it and he guns it for it. Mm-hmm. Now, and he also had a really good shot because it did go through Malia's hands. Like, he got one hand on it, still went in. But you saw him active, involved. When that goal went in, he grabbed the ball, high-fived Hani and said, that's cool. We're going back to midfield and we're starting this again. Like, he seemed like an engaged player who was ready to go. And it reflected in a great product on the field. And it was good. And we were so much better when he came on in the second half. I know that was also because the formation shifted and we went to two midfielders and we put more effort forward. But, I mean, if this is the consistent product we could get from Ake, I could see him becoming a real starter. So, anyway, for this game, he was the MVP. He was the bright spot.
I had the same person. Yeah, and you and I don't collaborate on these beforehand. But, yeah, I had Ake as well for all those reasons. And, you know, I'll talk a little bit about, you know, sort of that shift in his, you know, it seems like there's a shift in his attitude. There's a definite shift in his play. And he comes on, and what's my rule? I want to see a sub make a difference. He made a difference, right? So, yeah. Hats off to Ake. Definitely gets the MVP. Wish we could have gotten the win. That would have been ideal.
And again, I think the one offside, I understand. The second one, I don't know about that one. That was a little...
Yeah, we'll talk about
that. That was a hard one to swallow.
Well, I tell you what, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll ask each other some uncomfortable soccer-related questions. We'll talk about who or what needs to get off our pitch. So stay with us. And we are back. All right, John, let's ask some uncomfortable questions if you want to kick us off tonight.
Sure. Now, mine has two not uncomfortable questions leading up to the uncomfortable question. It's a process. So, summer transfer window is coming up. Do you think we get anyone? And I ask specifically because a certain team, Tenerife, has finished their season. Unfortunately, they did not make it to the top level. They lost 4-2 on aggregate. Do you think we bring in someone in the summer transfer window? Yes or no?
No. No, I don't think we do. Okay. I don't think we do. I think that the Mike Jacobs has, I think, telegraphed that he's very conservative with the amount of money that he's been allotted and is trying to make the best picks possible with the amount of funds that he has. I think that you start looking at the summer transfer window, I only see speculative, Miami type transfer, you know what I mean? Just splashy transfers or retirement league picks, or that's just not who we are. That's not who Nashville is as a team. So I don't see anyone out there that we would seriously consider bringing on. That's my opinion.
And my follow-up to that, because I was going to pivot the wording, but the essence is the same, is so even if we did bring in someone, do you think that person is enough to take this team from where we now are on the playoff bubble and seem to be kind of solidly stuck in that zone to a home playoff team? Do you think we're one person away? Do you think there's more than that? How do you think we take this team from where we are and we seem to kind of gotten mired down to a home playoff team, to a possible contender? Because it seems like we've fallen off from that pace, at least in my opinion.
We have to rework our midfield. That may take the form of moving some players around and recoaching. Because right now it seems very clear we're not building any sort of threat from the middle. We're not really, we've fallen off on the threat of dispossessing people. Teams come through our midfield without any fear. They take the ball right down the middle. I mean, I saw it over and over again last night, John. Mm-hmm. teams take the ball right down our midfield. They don't care. They're like, they're not going to do anything. And will we dispossess? Will Sean Davis make a play every once in a while? Yes. But, I mean, Dax McCarty got dispossessed a couple of times back in our own defensive half. I just feel like our midfield, I don't know what happened because I felt like we had a very good, solid midfield, but it doesn't seem like now teams have adjusted to us, and now we need to. There needs to be something different done in the midfield play. That's my opinion. I don't think one player is going to do that. I don't think signing a name is going to do that. No.
Yeah. But, so that tends to be my opinion too. Is I don't think even if Shaq Moore is the rumor, sure he's great. He might be the right back solution of the future if that is someone else.
Yeah.
But I do agree. I don't feel like we are one player from fixing all of the things. I think you could do one player and change some stuff, but I don't know if that's going to be it. Like, in other words, I worry. I don't know that this team is complete enough to actually make the run this year. We might have to do something for next year. But again, we'll see. But yeah, in my particular with this game, I thought it was interesting. Three games ago at Atlanta, we did have this same triangle midfield with Anungwa, Davis, and Godoy. We had Godoy up front in that game. We scored two goals against Atlanta, and then unfortunately we got Dom Dwyer in the end and tied. This game, for some reason, I don't understand why Godoy was the screen for the back line in this game, because look, the first half, all I saw Godoy do was back pass. I saw Mayer pass to Godoy. He turned around. Godoy back passed, I think, over to Lovitz, and Mayer went like this, like he was yelling at Godoy, saying, why didn't you pass it forward? And Godoy, you know, they talked back with each other and gesticulated a little bit. But I was like, you know, Anungwa can backpass with the best of them, but Godoy can actually go forward. So why is he – anyway, I had questions about that, and it does seem like our midfield has gotten bogged down, and the all creative play has been forced through the wings and is messy, and I agree. I don't know that one person can solve that. So what you got for me?
Are we a flopping team now?
Well – I might need to know more. So I'm going to answer this, but I'd like you to elaborate on exactly if you're
last
picking on
night,
a player or everyone.
It was like there was tripwires. There were people flip-flopping. You know, I get it trying to use a tactical flop.
Yeah.
I get that. But they were going down left and right. And to the point where that referee, I kind of started agreeing with the referee. I'm like, get up. Like, get up, get off the grass. You're not hurt. You're not, just get up. Yeah. Like, and this has been a trend. This isn't just this game. Now I'm looking at that with Hani. And I know he's, you know, he wants to do everything he can to get us points. But I don't know that, you know, Alice going down with every touch, CJ going down with every touch. I just don't know that that's, are we a flopping team now?
So I would say this. I think there are people who definitely flop more. Like, I think Godoy does it. However, in most cases, he's doing it because he knows he can draw a foul, because he's usually, again, facing backwards, trying to pass the ball, and a guy rushes up behind. Godoy tends to flop more than other players, but it's usually because he is drawing the right thing, his turnout correctly. I would say same thing with Dax. I don't think Dax necessarily flops a lot, but he knows when to go down. They both are very strategic. They have that, all that veteran buildup of, they kind of know when they're going to get the calls. And I think they do for the most part. I do agree that Alex has a tendency to flop some. And I think Hani goes down occasionally when it's not necessary. I also think that the beginning of the season set a tone where Hani went down unnecessarily some at the beginning of the season. I think refs have, I don't know, there was a memo or something, they've stopped calling some of his softer ones. Mm-hmm. And so I think part of that is, I think teams are playing him more physical because they don't think they're going to get the calls. You know what I mean? I think they are giving him little extra shoves and giving him little bits because they know they can probably get away with it. They're playing pretty physical. The thing is, you can't do that with CJ because he's a bigger guy. Like, you can't move CJ just with a gentle thing. You can kind of nudge Hani because he's always kind of just a little bit from off balance because he's, you know, moving so fluidly. CJ is a little more solid. I don't know that I necessarily see him flopping, though. He did a couple times in the box and it didn't result. But, you know, I felt like Hani flopped at the beginning of the season. I felt like he's tried to rein that in. But I think because people know they can play him physically and make it look like that, that it may result in that more so. So I don't know. I guess my answer is yes, last night did look bad. I don't know that we're a flopping team now. But I think depending on who you're talking about, there's a certain level of strategic element to it, like with Godoy and stuff. And I think they do it and they know they can, and they almost always get it. Whereas some of the other plays like Alex and Hani, it's not, the art is not refined.
I think that's well said. I had not considered some of those points. So yeah, I'll go with that. All right. Mm. Well, let's talk about,
but I agree. It is not pretty to watch.
No, it's not. The end product. It's not. And I don't, I guess I also, there's an implicit scolding there from me in that I don't want to be a flopping team. I don't want I don't want to support a team like that. I will, but I don't want us to become a flopping team, I guess is the subtle message I'm trying to put in.
Well, and I also don't want it to be our fallback of, well, we've got nothing better going forward because, again, we've had some other issues with stale products. So we flop and we get a free kick, you know, 30 yards out in front of the box and hope something comes from it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well said. Let's go into getting off the pitch. So I will go first tonight, and I am going to give a red card to myself.
Is this like the third week in a row you've somehow involved yourself in this?
Yeah, well, it is my, just asking. You know, just...
No judgment. It's our podcast.
I am somewhat self-centered. And this one's on me because of my comments about Ake Loba. I feel like there's some... I didn't want to VAR it because I deserve a straight red for this. You know, because it was clear that Ake wants to be here. It's clear that he wants to play. He's just probably a very competitive guy. And when he doesn't get the ball... When he doesn't get on the field, he gets upset. You know, he's that level of player. And, you know, I had made all these assumptions. I guess I was wrong. I mean, I watched him play last night. He wanted to be there. He wanted the ball. He wanted to make a difference. He wanted the win. There was no ambivalence there, right? So my red card goes to big mouth podcasters who think they know what's going on in a player's head and they don't really know. So obviously I was just voicing my frustration when I gave Aki the red, but yeah, I think I deserve the red in return.
I will say this in your defense, the attitude you display on the field, regardless of where it comes from or why, is still fairly evident. And if it's a negative attitude, it's still hard to watch, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it leads to conclusions like you and I said. Maybe he is just mad about that. But when you look at things and you see the product not work and it doesn't, but I do agree. If because I don't know how much playing time he's going to get. I don't know what Gary's going to do. Yeah, if he continues to get playing time and it looks like it did tonight, maybe it won't be as perfect because we may play teams that, you know, do a better job defending, whatever. But if he continues with the effort and the attitude and the look we have tonight, this may be the beginning of the redemption arc. You know what I mean? This may bring him all the way back and win everyone over, and it could be by the end of the season, hail Ake Loba for turning the season around, and now we're, you know, the bee's knees and we're going to win it all. Sure, that could be it. I don't, if he continues this path. So I understand why you do the red card, but I would still put a tiny asterisk and say, see a couple more games and see how it turns out.
Yeah, you could see him becoming the hero of the U.S. Open Cup run. Like, I could see that thread, right? You could see that thread. Right. Like, Ake Loba just takes the entire tournament by the scruff and just wins it all. That's the kind of story arc you could see from a player like him. You see that. Yeah. You see it there. Did he get – he did get dispossessed a couple of times, but – he also went.
But I mean, so did Hani in quite a few positions
he
as
went,
well.
Yeah, but he went after the ball after he got. Before I've seen him get dispossessed and go, oh, well, this. No, he was like, no, 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 and went right back after it. So, I think that's a change. What about you? What do you got?
Well, speaking of all the midfield issues, my red card goes to the patented, trademark, copyrighted Nashville back pass.
Oh, my God.
I'm tired of it. Like I said, honestly, when Jack Mayer threw up his hands at Godoy and Godoy's like, well, I had to go to him, you know, and they talk, I was like, Jack Mayer was all of us in that moment. Mm-hmm. Why is it going backwards? What do we need to do to fix this? I look back, we talked about comparing us to other teams, you know, recently in standings, and I look back at the Galaxy game. When the Galaxy got the ball into our defending third, when they were attacking against us, they had ways to cycle the ball. They had cute little passes between people in small areas and kept it going. But they kept it in that third. For the most part, they might have cleared out towards midfield, but never really past midfield. They had clever ways to keep it going, to cycle it, to do that. Now, part of it is because they weren't as dependent on the cross, which, you know, crosses tend to 50-50, go in, you know, go out and get a corner kick, or, you know, go out and become a goal kick. But they had a lot of passes that kept the possession and focused it in that area. So they just kept the pressure on constantly. when we go forward, we usually have one or two passes. We get in the area. We may cycle it around once, and we lob it in at some point. And again, corner kick, goal kick, or it gets dispossessed and pushed back. Or if we can't find anything, we back pass it. But we always end up somehow on our half. We go so far back to relieve the pressure and have to build again that guys have to run back to mid. You know, you've got Alex and Dan, you know, our wingbacks who are supposed to push up. Now they're back at midfield, so they got to make a run up again. It's just something about when we back pass so far and so, you know, we basically take all the pressure off them. They can reform in two lines, repack the midfield, and be prepared for our next assault. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's a lack of creativity to players, the scheme, but it just seems like we rely way too much on that back pass and that relief of it didn't work. Let's go back and start over from our own third. That's not going to win you games. That doesn't keep the pressure on. You know what I mean? Even in some of these, like we talked about the end of the San Jose game, the end of this game, we still cycled it all the way back instead of keeping it in their half and just packing it in. That's what Atlanta did to us when they beat us with that Dom Dwyer goal. They were just in our half. They tried to park in our half and keep the ball there and keep going. I haven't seen that from us. I felt like we did a little bit last year in some of those early games, like where we got down, you know, and had to come back. And I had confidence that we could do that because it seemed that urgency and that pressure. It just seems like we are too reliant on back passing and recycling and willing to yield so much of the field to recycle and start over our offensive effort.
I think the difference between last year and this year is we had Leal and Alistair Johnston. And in this last, the difference that you just noted is that Leal was gone. Leal was out of the lineup. I think he makes such a big difference in that right mid, in that mid. And he, because he is so aggressive, on the ball and always seems to be looking forward. And if he, hell, if he can't pass it, he's going to shoot it. If he can't shoot it, he's gonna run to the center. If he can't run to the center, he's gonna run up the wing. You know what I mean? He doesn't think back.
His first touch. He goes in on that set piece. Honey kicks it back to him. I shoot the ball. I was like, thank you, Leon. This is what we need.
That is what we need, because a shot on goal is not a back pass. Like, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
I mean, no. Heck, Kansas City had a shot on goal for that distance, went in. No, let's. We have, yep. You know, of course, we haven't even touched on the, you know, the third rail here of the play of Joe Willis, which,
yeah,
I mean, well, probably the less said, the better, but
yeah, I would say this. I'm first goal. I don't know what he was doing. I understand he saw players and thought of deflections or headers, but to not close that out, I can't explain that.
Here's benefit of the doubt. Here's what I think. And I can tell you because I sit on that side of the field, that sun comes right through that corner into your eyes. And so I don't know that it happened, but I could see a situation where that he just got the ball came out of nowhere on him. It came out of the darkness into the light and then back in the darkness and or the shade and just he lost it.
Yeah. Okay. I will say on the second one, that is more about us not closing Graham Zusi. You just don't give someone who's played that long that I don't blame Joe for. He tried. That one was us on us not closing. So anyway, I absolve Joe of that one. But yeah, so that's my tangent about the back pass.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll just take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the next game coming up against DC United. Mm-hmm. And then we will wrap it up with some VAR. So stay with us. And we are back. Okay, John, when are we playing and who are we playing next?
Ooh, so fun. We are going to play this Saturday at 4 p.m. an Eastern Conference opponent in an MLS game.
Because we play
one of them and we'll play another one in the Open Cup. That doesn't count. Yeah, we'll play an Eastern Conference. I know these guys. Yep. I know who the team is.
I know this team very well, actually, since I followed them since 96. Yeah, DC United playing at Audi Field. Should be a beautiful day up there. The weather looks like it's going to be nice. Wish I could go. That's a nice stadium. That's one stadium I'd like for us to go to sometime. It's obviously I'm one of those rare people that actually likes DC. I do, and I really like that stadium. It's in a nice part of town. It's easy to get to. It's really nice.
Yeah. So, I mean DC again. I talked a couple episodes about that. This is the run of the four games. I mean, I'm not counting the Open Cup game. Four games against teams in the bottom three of either conference. We have gained 1 point from two games.
Yeah, we're going to regret that.
This is, again, like I said, to me, this was the make or break between hosting a playoff game and just making the playoffs. We are now strictly in the just making the playoff game. So what do you think we do against DC? What are your feelings here?
Well, DC is a really, they are not a good team. Kai Kamara just is, it's just not a good team. They're all in flux. I think we get 2-0 win in DC just because, again, I don't think Gary is the kind of coach that allows this to continue. He will do something different. He will shake up the lineup. He'll do whatever it takes. So I don't think it's going to be business as usual in DC. I think we're going to go up there, and I think we're looking to win. I think we're not looking to tie. We're looking for a win. No. And if there's one place in the East we can get it on the road, it's DC. So I'm looking for 2-0, a win in DC. What about you?
Cool. I'm going to go with 2-1 just because I'm a little more pessimistic, but I like the idea of a win. I think we should beat them. They have bled some unnecessary goals, and I think that we can take advantage of that. But I think somehow they'll push us and get one back. I don't know. I guess the biggest thing is we should, because I know Zimmerman was questionable for this game. I think it was just, you know, more, I don't think it's a true knock from what everyone said, but we should have Zimmerman back. We should have a full lineup because Leal will be there. I don't know. I'm not necessarily saying Leal will start, but I think we could at least sub him on at halftime if things were, you know, not going well. So I feel like we can have our full strength lineup. Gary has his full choice of who he wants to play, and we can go out there and get it. I think this, you know, we played DC last year. We beat them. We know how they play. Their team is not much different necessarily than last year, other than the Taxi Fontes guy. I know he is really good. But he's also playing in midfield. I feel like, so this is going to come down to our midfield play of, can we stop them and can we possess the ball? I think we can do it, but I don't know. I don't know what else to say. Like I said, I've kind of lost the sense of really where we are because we seem to still be good defensively. I mean, we held San Jose. It was only a great shot from Granzusi and a goalkeeping error. You know what I mean? They had 0.3 XG. We should have won this game based on that. Mm-hmm. We let in some small errors. You know what I mean? So I still think we're stout defensively, but I don't know. I just, like I said, I've kind of lost a little feeling of where we are. So I'll go with 2-1, but I'm not so sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think a win is definitely in the offing, and I think it's almost, I'm not saying it's desperation time, but it's definitely, we need to make a statement that we are not, that things are not falling off the cliff. So that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. And the only thing I would say is it's nice that this game comes before the Orlando, because then we have Orlando and Portland in the same week, you know, with the Open Cup. So we'll have to do some juggling and some, you know, playtime management. So my hope is that we get up early and then we could park the bus and maybe we do let one in, but at least we could be rested for those things. Because I do think that it seems like Gary and the management is in on winning this Open Cup and pushing for it. So, you know, I'd like to, I mean, hey, I wouldn't mind if we go for it. So we'll see.
All right. Let's talk about VAR. Well, what did we get wrong from the last podcast?
No, I had a note where you screwed something up, but we fixed it in session. But I did not have much else because I didn't get full time to take notes on it.
I had a VAR, unofficial back channel VAR from a longtime listener. Who said that we, please, so I'm just going to read this here. Please do not have Soccer Moses on. Soccer Moses supports the club by inviting everyone in, hashtag everyone in, whereas Eric tells people to get off the pitch. So the feeling is that I am the opposite of Soccer Moses, to which you said I'm the soccer pharaoh? Question mark? If it wasn't completely culturally inappropriate, I would have dress up as soccer pharaoh, but I don't think I could pull that off on any level.
No,
but I did find that very amusing. So, it would be nice to have Steven on at some point, Soccer Moses. Yeah. But I just don't know if that's possible, but yeah, it would be wonderful to have him on, but I did get some feedback.
Yeah. All I would say is I am also looking forward to the fact that this next game is at 4 p.m. in the middle of the day when it's hot here in Nashville. So I can just sit in front of the television and just watch a beautiful game. And hopefully it is a beautiful game.
I will be too. Yeah. And since my daughter is at camp and my wife is traveling, I'm here by myself the whole week. So I don't know what I'll do. All right, John. Always good, my friend. I guess we will next Sunday have our next podcast Sunday night.
Yep, and then the next week after that, we'll go back to this whole doubleheader thing that we had.
Yeah, well, next week is going to be, I'm in traveling. I don't know if you, I think you and the family are traveling as well.
No, we'll be doing some moving stuff. I don't know. We'll have logistics. We'll figure them out. We make it happen.
All right, and then we will see you
there. We're not Steven.
Yeah. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a good night. Thanks, John.